If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Not On This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Not In This Business Bites. I'm Ben, and this is Sia. And here is a question I'm sure everybody's asking, or they have asked at one point in their life. How do you differentiate yourself in a crowded market? There are very few of us that sit in our own marketplace, that have this natural moat around what we do. We've got the secret sauce. Everybody needs the secret sauce, and they'll pay whatever it costs to get the secret sauce from us. Most of us have competition, and most of us have stiff competition. Most of us, you know, they may be a little bit to the left. We may be a little to the right. They may be a little bit more expensive. We may be a little bit less expensive. They may have a few more, you know, knobs and wheels on their controller than we do. But you know what? In essence, we solve similar problems. And the question is, and we need to think about this as organizations, how do we stop being commodities and being a brand worth loving? How do we stop being somebody that's competing on price? Because if we're competing on price and we become commodities, we're easily replaced and soon forgotten. And every product, I don't care who you are and what you do, has the ability to break out of being that commodity and become a differentiated brand. So Sia, let's gnaw on this.
I mean, you nailed it, my friend. Nailed it. What value are you bringing to the business, your prospect, your client? What challenges do they have that they would hire you and pay you to do something? And oftentimes, your biggest differentiator or non-differentiator is if they just don't want to do it. because the reality is, all business, it doesn't matter what portion of the business line, business function, if they can outsource something to make their lives easier, they will do so if they it will. Makes business sense. They absolutely 100% will. You have to understand what that is to be the person that they say, I'm going to you for this because you provide me a win here, or you help me achieve results that I'm looking for there, or you get me to my goal faster, right? Sometimes it's not so much the task itself, but like get it more efficiently or more effectively. So if you notice everything I said, not once was it a product.
No.
It was something you're delivering and you're helping them get there. And to differentiate as a business, you have to know that language, whatever it might be. I don't know why I just said Mike and the Mechanics in my head. I know nothing about Mike or the Mechanics. Quite frankly, I don't remember what song they sang, but maybe like plumbing, right? When our pipes break down, we will call someone that we know, like, and trust, but sometimes we don't have that luxury, right? So there could be someone like my cheap dad, love you, dad, but he'd be like, I'm going to call for 5 hours to find someone that's going to save us a nickel.
That's right.
As
the water is bursting through the pipes and flooding the basement.
100%, right? So, you know, again, this goes back to what problem are you solving? How do you position your company as such? It's funny that you should mention that. I have recently pivoted. Yes, what Brilliant Bee Media does is content creation, digital, you know, social media management. Mm-hmm. What do you want to call it? Social media management, whatever. But that's what we do. Yeah, sure. But what we actually do is we save time.
Yeah.
We take the burden of a task that most people don't want to do. And we do it, and we do it effectively, and we do it honorably in guidelines with your brand. So that's a big thing. Whatever company you are, whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you're an expert at, do know you're not the only expert there. But if you can make it pleasant for them, they like you while you're doing that job for them, you will get hired 99% of the time. It's, and by the way, in anything I just said there, was any of it price?
No.
People will pay for more if you're giving them true value.
It's funny. I got two stories for you on that. And a comment. It's just on my website right now, at the very front, at the top of the homepage on iambenbaker.com, it says, "Hi, I'm Ben Baker. I solve problems." That's where I am. That's really, truly what I do, is I solve problems. I'm the guy that calls when something hits the fan and you don't know how to fix it. I'm the guy when the pipes are leaking, you know, metaphorically within your business, I'm the guy that you're going to call. And at that point in time, it's not about how much money it costs. It's, can you fix the problem?
Yeah.
Because fixing the problem is way more expensive than what it is. Two great stories. One, my buddy used to be the state manager for a major, a paper goods supplier. So pens, inks, you know, all that kind of stuff. Staplers, all that kind of stuff. And he sold to, you know, small little companies like Harvard University.
Hmm.
And he was going through the contract for Harvard University, and you know, their attitude is, you know, you're selling pens and pencils. You know, it's, we buy, you know, 50 skids of pens. We buy 200, you know, skids of paper on a monthly basis, whatever. We want the best price. No, what he did was he changed the conversation. What he did with part of his bid process is he provided training from all of his vendors and he put a dollar amount to it and gave it to them for free. So they were getting $250,000 worth of training, online training that was specific to Harvard University, that was on how to better utilize the equipment, how to get better value out of stuff, how to maximize return on investment. And their price was 10% higher than everybody else's, and they won the contract.
I love that story. I mean, it's because there's an additional level of expertise. There's a little bit of wisdom in there to impart that they're sharing that is that premium. You are totally remind me of that. Is it a parable?
We'll call it a parable.
It's that story that we hear all the time, which is a person goes to a mechanic. And they're like, "Oh, we just came from another mechanic. They said it would take forever, blah, blah, blah. Look at it." And the mechanic looks at it, goes, "Yeah, I can fix it." And they're like, "Yeah, please do. I'm in a rush." And they're like, "Okay." And they go in and they fix it. It's like 20 minutes, but the mechanic charged them, you know, the price point that the all day person was charging.
Yeah.
And so the customer's like, "Wait a minute, why are you charging me as much as that other person that took all day? You were just here for 20 minutes working on my car." And goes back to, it's not the quantity of time I spent on it. It's the wisdom of knowing where to go exactly to fix your car. And I think people underestimate that. They underappreciate expertise. I can't tell you how many times, and you know this as much as I do. "Oh, I can go to Fiverr." Then go to Fiverr. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, that's not my jam. You're not my customer profile if that's your mentality, because that's not my value to you. If that's the value is just pure price point, you're going to end up having to manage it more than if you had someone else that you can entrust, pay more for it, and they manage it for you and orchestrate for you, right? So again, but I also understand people's, if you don't have budget, there's nothing wrong with admitting that and saying that. Just, you know, but don't go in there with a Hyundai budget expecting to buy a Lamborghini, okay? Sorry, like Hyundais are great cars, but you ain't no Lamborghini. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
But we also need to sit there and say, okay, I think most of us need to get out of the position, if we can, where we can, of trading time for money.
That's true.
And saying, I'm $50 an hour. I'm $75 an hour. I'm $100 an hour. I charge by the problems that I fix. And I'll charge you $50,000 to fix this problem. I'll charge you $25,000 to analyze the situation. And guess what? I need to come out for 3 days. I've built that price into the flight. You're not paying extra for flights. You're not paying extra for food. You're not paying extra for transportation. I've built all that into the price. And it's not a haggle. It's not a this. It's not somebody saying, well, you only spent 22 hours. Can I get a discount? No, I solved your problem.
No. Oh, my gosh. You remind me of it was YouTube. It was a YouTube short where he was talking about value. I think I forwarded it, too, because I wanted to remember it.
Probably.
Which was a gentleman. He had a foreign accent. I don't remember what it was. But he basically said, I helped a customer save $3 million in their overhead, and they increased their business by $10 million. Mm-hmm. And then he just said it, and it was kind of like a tongue-in-cheek then. He's like, so what the bleep do you give a crap that I asked for $50K? And I just thought it was awesome. Yeah. Because that's true, right? So I feel like we're going off topic a little bit, but how do you differentiate yourself? I think it's having those conversations.
You are differentiating yourself. In every one of these things, you are different. How do you differentiate yourself? You differentiate yourself by changing the conversation.
Yeah.
You differentiate yourself by changing the paradigm.
Yeah.
And the paradigm says, if everybody else is charging by the hour, charge by the project. If everybody is looking at this as a commodity buy, what can you add that's a value add that has real value that doesn't cost you a lot of money? In the case with my buddy in the pens and pencil business, it didn't cost him a dime because his vendors picked up all the tab. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that were doing it, and they were ecstatic because all of a sudden they were able to increase their number of pens and pencils and paper and this and that and everything, and be specced as the paper of choice,
mm-hmm.
because they were able to show why their paper jams in the printers less often, and therefore you could print a double sided instead of single sided and not have bleed through on the sheets or whatever it is, and so therefore it was in the vendor's best interest to provide this training to the end user. So it's a matter, and I think the way we differentiate is to sit there and be the person that says, I've got your beer. Let me hold your beer for you. We'll take care of you. You know what? Do you need to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning? That's okay. Because if you're going to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, something is really wrong. And guess what? You're going to pay me up the wazoo. Here's the other story. And this is going back 25 years or longer. I was the managing director for Kinko's Western Canada. And I got a phone call from one of the large beverage companies. And they came up to me and they said, we've got 500 copies of this color document that's 65 pages that we need printed and bound over the weekend because we need to get out on a plane for a meeting in San Francisco. And the first question I asked them is, and what happens if we don't get it done on time? They lost $500 million.
Well, that matters.
I said, okay, we're going to shut down 3 branches. We're going to dedicate 3 branches to getting this done. We've ordered all the paper, all the binders, all the tabs. Everything was ready to go. And the thing is, but the problem is, this is back when color rips would be killed by that much color paper. So printing this thing became ridiculously slow because nobody had the computing power in order to do it.
Yeah.
So it took 3 stores to get it done. We got it done on time and had it all shipped to the Richmond store so they could jump on a plane and head out. And not once did they ask me what the bill was until we walked to pay for the thing. And they said, fine.
Yeah. Well, because
I charged them 30 or 40% over what it should have cost because we had to shut down three locations.
Yep.
We had to dedicate staff to this thing. We had to hot rush stuff around the city. And we still made, you know, retail plus coin on a job that we should have been making 50 cents on the dollar on. You know, and the customer was ecstatic and came back forever.
I love that. You know, it reminds me that emergency, lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part, which again, if you want to differentiate yourself, you don't want to be that. Because I've cleaned up other companies before where they just started a mess or just walked away and ghosted the client. And you're like, well, that was odd, right? But yeah, so I think if you're going to differentiate yourself, the ultimate thing is it's not you guys, and this is from coming a social media, you know, marketer, if you want to talk about it. It's not all about putting your face up on social media saying how awesome you are. The fact of the matter is you've got to know who your audience is, who your prospect is, what business problem you're solving for them to give a damn, to even talk to you, to even look at you, to even think about you. And not all clients are the right fit for all businesses, right? You could try, but it might make your engagement a pain in the wazoo. And if that's the case, make them pay for it, right? So like that, what you described, if a client is looking for someone that they can call, beck and call 24/7, there's a premium for that. You could be the company that is the go-to for 24/7. Maybe that's your niche. Who knows, right? But
you better charge for it.
Of course. But I'm saying, if that's the way you want to differentiate yourself, then more power to you. That's because you know your audience and you know your industry and you know your markets, right? So that's my two cents as we kind of have to land this plane here.
All right. So let's bring this thing in for a quick landing. I'm Ben.
I'm Sia.
And we'll see you soon.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This, Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. If you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben at IamBenBaker.com or me at BrilliantBeeMedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. See you next week for another episode of Not On This, Business Bites.